This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Congratulations, don't get into your 9-to-5. Hopefully your bracket is still mostly intact. This is what I would like to do. Rob so breaks at Carrington, you forgot something. He said it like it was something real serious. And I was like, wait, what did I forget? We checked most of the boxes. We talked MU. We talked KU. We've kept people updated on the NCAA tournament. I told people about the Royals roundtable that's coming up. I did the reads. What did I forget? You didn't talk about Charles Aminahou. I was like, oh, yeah, no, you're right. We didn't talk about Charles Aminahou. He said, let's do it before the hits. I was like, all right, hey, you're the producer. I don't want to. He looked at me in a very stern way. You know Rob on edge. You know he's on edge. His football team was ranked preseason. They won 5 games, didn't make a bowl game. They lost to UNLV in a soccer stadium. Rob's a season ticket holder for KU. He saw 3 home losses this year. He saw him lose in the Big 12 tournament in round 2. His team didn't win a game in the NCAA tournament. Rob's on edge. It's like, all right, hey, all right, calm down. Let's talk about Charles Aminahou. Rob, this just continues the theme of the offseason. They're not saying it the way that they did after they won the Super Bowl back in 2020. But the Chiefs are running it back. The Chiefs are running it back. We liked you last year. We're happy to have you come back on a 1-year deal. Think about the amount of free agents that they've had, who they've said yes to, and who they've been willing to move on from. I continue to think that for the most part, the Chiefs went into this offseason with a plan, and they have almost perfectly executed their plan. They had 2 major free agents. We spent all year debating, well, what's going to happen? Are they going to bring back Trey Smith? Are they going to bring back Nick Bolton? Well, you can't pay them both. They seem to have found a way to pay both of them. They gave Nick Bolton $30 million, and they franchise tagged Trey Smith, and we believe they are going to reach a long-term extension. They also went out in free agency and picked up a left tackle in Jalen Moore. And then when it comes to 1-year deals, they've been just giving them out. Here, Juju, you want to come back? Sure, come on back. Hey, Kareem Hunt, we like you last year. Come back on a 1-year deal. Charles Aminahou, come back on a 1-year deal. Now, I think Charles Aminahou maybe has the biggest room for growth of any of those players that we mentioned that are coming back on a 1-year deal. Now, I understand what the perception is about Charles Aminahou, but Charles Aminahou did not really have a great impact when he came back when looking at the numbers. Charles Aminahou played in 6 games this year. He had 4 tackles when he came back. He had 1 sack when he came back. Charles Aminahou this season had 2 quarterback hits. Now, I understand he came back off an ACL injury. I understand he missed a significant amount of time. And I do believe that Charles Aminahou coming back and the threat of him being a pass rusher opened things up for George Karlaftis and made the game easier for Chris Jones. So I don't have a problem with Charles Omenihu coming back on the team, especially at what they paid him. He is a player who has shown before the injury that he is a capable pass rusher. They brought him in. Cool. Let's see what he does this year. But this is a really important season for Charles Omenihu. I'll say that. This is a very important season. He signed a 2-year deal with Kansas City a couple of years ago. In those 2 years, he was suspended to start the season because of a domestic violence issue that happened when he was on the San Francisco 49ers. So he missed the first, five games of the season. Fast forward to the actual year, he tears his ACL and then has to miss a significant amount of time the next season. He is 27 years old and is coming off a year in which he had one of his worst seasons as a pro, if you were looking at the numbers. So this is a really important season for Charles Omenihu coming up. He will turn 28 in August. You want a 1-year prove-it kind of veteran deal on a team and a system and a scheme that you are very familiar with heading into your third season. And it's fair to say that Charles Omenihu is going to be a starter for said team. Hey, it's time to ball out. It's time to put together a year that can get you a 3-year, $30 million deal. That can get you what we just saw Wharton sign for. That can get you the Emmanuel Ogba deal. That can get you one of those contracts that really sets yourself up. You have not had that yet in your career. Maybe you would argue that's what 2 seasons ago, where he played in 11 games, he had 28 tackles, the most in his career, and he had 7 sacks. Hey, that's a big time year. If you had done that this past season and not gotten injured, you would have got paid. That's not what happened. This is a not just a prove it year. This is a show you can stay healthy and go ball out season for Charles Omenihu. So that's the top Chiefs news. They bring him back. They bring back Juju. They bring back Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs have, for the most part, decided to run it back, but they have made a couple of additions. They signed Jalen Moore. I really like the Christian Fulton move at the contract that they've picked up. And now I think it's a simple waiting game to see what happens in the NFL draft and what they pick up. They might continue to make some moves of this vein where they pick up some 1-year veteran kind of moves, but the big time swings in free agency are over. Now, I think there is a second wave of free agency right after the draft. There's still a handful of veteran receivers who are unsigned. There's still, we don't know some team's quarterback yet. Aaron Rodgers hasn't made a decision. The Browns don't have their quarterback yet. The Giants don't have their quarterback. So the offseason is not done. But I do think their big swings like Christian Fulton and left tackle, I think those kind of moves are over. And now it's going to be 1-year guys that fit the scheme, fit the system, that know the locker room very well. The Chiefs certainly have a type that they are looking for.
It just, we will talk about it a lot in the coming, weeks, months, blah, blah. I'm not sold on run it back as the best game plan, but, we were saying younger and explosive. They have not gotten younger or explosive at any point this offseason, but they have gotten the same roster back on the field. So if you have a jersey, good news, that player is back on the Chiefs.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. These guys are all known insurance pieces. They have no glaring weakness going into the draft. Hope to upgrade if you can, but you roll with them if not. I still think the Chiefs have some glaring weaknesses. You guys know how I feel about running back. I don't think they have enough at running back. I also think they need to pick up another pass rusher. I also wouldn't be against them going to go get another wide receiver. I still look at their wide receiver room that if an injury happens this upcoming season, they're almost in the exact same situation that they were in. Like, if one injury happens with one of their big three receivers, Rice, Hollywood, Xavier Worthy, they are in almost the same identical place that they were in last season where they needed to go make a trade for a 30-something-year-old wide receiver that couldn't help them. So that's what the draft is for. Go get a young running back that you think can turn into a Pro Bowler. I would go get another wide receiver. But I do think for the most part, and I think this has kind of been the case for the last two and a half weeks or so, the Chiefs are done for the most part. They're done. They're making some depth pieces and some attrition moves if an injury happens, but I don't think the Chiefs are picking up another starter in free agency. If they get another starter, it'll be in a month or so in Green Bay in the draft. All right, so that is the Chiefs portion of the 5 o'clock hour. Let's get back to basketball. Let's get back to the NCAA tournament. Let's talk about Missouri and Kansas. We'll split it up, and we'll do it this way. I'll do a little Missouri, you'll do a little bit of KU, and then we'll hear from some of our experts that popped on the show earlier today. I think that basketball is really simple. I think we complicate it sometimes. I think we complicate sports in general. The same way I tell you in football, it's about, can you run the ball? Can you stop the run? Can you affect the quarterback? Like, those are the building blocks and foundation of you having a very good team. And if you can do that, you'll win a lot of games. And basketball is kind of the same. Hey, at some point, you need a guy that can go get you a bucket. Your coach can only scheme so much. At some point, it's going to be 7 seconds left on the shot clock. And what you're going to need is one of your players to make a shot. Drake made that shot yesterday. Missouri made a run to get close. And, hey, you got a chance to win this game. And yesterday, the best player on the floor, and Bennett Sturts, did a one-legged three-pointer when the shot clock, calm, cool, collected, a shot that he has probably practiced in his life, it went in. And you could kind of get the sense at that moment, like, Missouri might be in trouble. This was a one-point game. Missouri was down 14 at one point. They were down 2. Mark Mitchell gets fouled. He missed the first free throw, makes the second one. It is now a one-point game. After that moment, Bennett Sturts took over the game. Bennett Sturts hit that three-pointer. He then got a steal. He got an assist. He threw the alley-oop. That's what winning players do. At some point, you need somebody to go out there and make a play. And Missouri just didn't have enough guys that made plays yesterday. Anthony Robinson didn't make a basket yesterday. They have a McDonald's All-American on their team in Mark Mitchell. Mark Mitchell scored 8 points yesterday and didn't get his first bucket in the game until the 1:15 mark late in the first half. You need guys that can go out and get you a bucket. And number two, you got to be able to get stops. Now, that is a coaching and a mindset that I just don't think Missouri has at this stage of their program. I looked it up. In the final month of the season, if you take their games in March, they played 6 games in March. They only won 1 of those games. So they went 1-5 in the month of March, and they allowed their opponent to shoot over 50% from the field. You aren't beating people if that's the case. You aren't beating people. Drake is not a great offensive team. They shot 55% from the floor. They allowed Florida to shoot 61%, 61% from the floor. You are not beating teams if that's the case. Kentucky came into your building and shot 49%. Oklahoma on the road, they shot 57%. You are not beating teams if you cannot get off the court. You cannot beat them. That was Missouri's problem. Missouri made 7 shots in the first 20 minutes of the game. The only thing that kept Missouri in it was free throws. That's the only thing that kept Missouri in it, and that they outscored Drake by 11 points at the free throw line. They didn't make enough shots to win yesterday's game. Caleb Grill, who at one point was, by the numbers, the best three-point shooter in college basketball, he went 1-7 yesterday from the three. You weren't winning if you didn't get a decent version of Caleb Grill. You didn't get a decent version of Caleb Grill. Your point guard didn't make a shot, and your McDonald's All-American got the clamps put on him yesterday. Your players didn't play well enough. And defensively, you just haven't coached defense to give yourself a realistic chance in the tournament. Drake got what they wanted offensively in the second half. So did Princeton when you played them a couple of years ago. They were back cuts, easy layups, easy transition buckets. If Dennis Gates is going to take the next step as a head coach, you got to get better defensively than what they are right now. And at some point, you got to recruit a guy that can go get yourself a bucket. You got to go recruit somebody that can go get you a bucket, and you got to get a big guy that you think can protect the rim. Those are a couple things that you need in this tournament. You need those things. Just like in the NFL playoffs, you need a quarterback that can convert on 3rd and 8. You need a defense that can force turnovers. You need to be able to run the football effectively. And basketball has some of the same formula pieces, and Missouri just, they did not execute at that level down the stretch, and that's why they're going home. Congratulations to Drake. I've told you guys that I think that Drake is the best mid-major team in the country. I genuinely think that Ben McCollum is the next Bill Self. I think that Ben McCollum is about to take the Iowa job. I think he will have great success at Iowa, especially with the kind of kids that he wants to recruit. He is from the area. I think he will go to Iowa and have great success where they're going to be a high seed in the NCAA tournament. And I think when one of the blue blood jobs is open, I think that he is going to be on the short list. I think he is a basketball wizard. And I think you saw some of that yesterday. I think he is really, really good at this. And I think because he was down at the D2 level and certainly stayed there longer than he probably should have, it made people forget. He joined Drake. They won 30 games. You have taken kids that big-time schools wanted nothing to do with, and you have turned them into a team that could potentially make a run in the NCAA tournament. So congratulations to Drake on their win. And I'm excited to watch them and cheer for them as they have so many Kansas City kids on their team. All right, that is the Missouri side of yesterday. Rob, what is the KU side of yesterday's events?
I'll make this short and sweet. If you were a Can this year, you saw that loss about 6-7 times this year. Because everything that has plagued this Kansas team was the problem last night. They aren't super athletic at the guard position. They were the lesser athletes last night. There have been multiple times this season. DeJuan Harris is, Michael Swain's on the show, he said it perfectly, he's a divisive character in Kansas history. He won a national title, he was really important in that game, but he has limitations as a player. They are just lacking explosiveness at the guard position. That was apparent last night. Arkansas had better athletes. The second problem is, Hunter Dickinson is a box score, you know, merchant, but when you watch the games, there just seems to be something missing. That was last night. He had a nice game, an okay game, not the best, but, you know, the real problem was he couldn't defend. The real problem was that he was a turnover machine. The real problem was down the stretch when they needed a guy, they were going to Hunter Dickinson, and he's just, let's be honest, he's not that guy. They've wanted him to be that guy. He has never become that guy. That showed itself last night. And then this team all season has turned the ball over. That game you went to in Columbia, Mizzou Arena, one of the reasons Kansas was down so big early in that game is they just kept giving the ball away. Now, that game was extreme. They had 16 turnovers in the first half against Missouri. But you know what they did down the stretch last night? Their last five possessions, turnover, 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 turnover. And then an, oh, by the way, Ryland Griffin three. But who cares? At that point, the game's over. You got to value the basketball in March. And they just did not value the basketball last night. So it was more of the same we have seen as Kansas fans this game play out so often this season. Turnovers, poor execution down the stretch, too reliant on Hunter Dickinson, and lack of athleticism. And last night, that's exactly what you saw as Arkansas was able to pull up the upset against Kansas. And what's even more frustrating is I think Bill Self did everything in his physical power to give Kansas that win because he outcoached Calipari in that second half. Like you wouldn't believe, but they didn't have enough whatever the it is, and Kansas never had it this season, and it was highlighted last night. But it's not new. It got highlighted a bunch of times this year. That's why they're a 7 seed.
I think you KU fans know what I'm saying is going to be true. Rob, I'm guessing that you knew pretty early on in the dating process, hey, you know what? I really care about this person. I think she could be the one. Maybe you weren't 100% sure, but the way you felt about her was just very different than you felt about other relationships. I'm also sure that you have hung out with somebody and you knew pretty early on, yeah, this ain't gonna work. My personality, her personality, my work schedule, her work schedule, this just is not a good fit for me. I have watched a lot of Kansas basketball in my life. A lot. You've watched a lot of Kansas basketball. A lot of you have watched a lot of Kansas basketball. It is hard to avoid if you live in this part of the country. After the first 7-8 games of the season, there was never a time I thought, hey, you could do anything. I saw Creighton take something away from this KU team. I watched Missouri take something away from this team. And I would always keep waiting for KU to take that next step, that next stride. Hey, Christmas break is coming up. They'll figure it out. Oh, it's a new season. They kept trying to repackage the same bad product. No, you can't fool the rest of us. You can't fool them. I said this 2 weeks ago. Hunter Dickinson is KU's biggest problem. It's hard to win if your best player can't guard anybody. It's also hard to win if your best player is passing the ball to invisible ghosts. That turnover that he had when KU is in control of the game. They are in control of the game. They are up 67-64 with the basketball. Hey, you're a senior. Hunter Dickinson has played over 120 college basketball games at a high level. He was at Michigan and Kansas. You got to protect the basketball here. We got to figure out a way to get a bucket. You were a third-team All-American. You're one of the 15 best players in the country. Who are you passing the ball to? You just threw it away. It was a 67-64 game. It was 67-64. After that point, KU had five turnovers and made one basket. You ain't winning that way. You're not winning that way. So congratulations to Arkansas. Congratulations to Drake. And we will see how they perform in round two of the NCAA tournament. It looks right now like Ole Miss is going to eliminate North Carolina. North Carolina, certainly a lot of controversy about them making the NCAA tournament. I guess we don't have to argue about it anymore because Ole Miss is about to eliminate them from the NCAA tournament. It looks like they are going to win 71-64. So the Ole Miss Rebels, they have advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament. Coming up in the middle segment here, we'll hear from Sam Snelling. We'll also hear from Michael Swain to kind of recap both Missouri and KU's year. Speaking of KU, we got the press release earlier today that Bob Davis, the longtime voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, had passed away. I got a chance to meet Bob Davis a handful of times. I've got a chance to meet his son, Stephen Davis. I got all the respect in the world for the Davis family. Certainly want to send my condolences out to them. I remember the first time that I met Bob Davis, it was at Royals Fan Fest, and I'm telling you, he could not have been any nicer to me. This was very early on in my career. I am at the very bottom of the totem pole. Bob Davis is a legendary Kansas Hall of Fame broadcaster, and Bob Davis could not have been more friendly and even listened to the show and recalled the show. I always thought that was cool. He's called in a couple of times. Again, I got all the respect in the world for Bob Davis, so really want to send my condolences out to the family. Want to send my condolences out to anyone associated with the KU program that knew Bob Davis and had the closeness with him. He called games for 30 years at KU, and he wasn't the voice of the Jayhawks to me. I know he was to many of you. He was the voice of Royals baseball to me. The two voices that I had growing up, and I love Denny. You guys know I love Denny. I had Ryan Lefebvre on the radio, and Bob Davis was the voice on television. If you grew up watching the games on Metro Sports and you remember the RSTN from back in the day, where it'd be him and Paul Splittorff calling games, I mean, that's foundation. The reason we do the Random Royal during the baseball season is because of our love of that time. We were kids in 95, 96, and watching as Royals baseball was on television. So, again, rest in peace to Bob Davis. The story came out earlier today that he passed away. His wife actually passed away last week on March 13th. So, just a sad story for the Davis family. We played this earlier. I'll play it again. This is Bob Davis's call of the Chalmers shot.
10.8. Here they come. Collins, 7 seconds to go in the game. Collins got pushed. Falls down. Chalmers shoots. Oh! Three. The game tied. 2.1. Memphis inbounding. A half-court shot. No good.
Unbelievable
shot. Overtime. Overtime.
I've talked to Denny about this a couple of times, and we actually have Ryan Lefebvre coming in studio next week, and we'll probably have a similar conversation. I'm sure he obviously had run-ins with Bob Davis their time, both with the Royals organization. I don't think guys like Denny maybe understand it. Bob Davis, Mike Kelly, Mitch Holtis. I don't think they understand the effect that they have on your life. And sports, if you choose to cheer for sports, it becomes a lifelong hobby. There are some hobbies that we've had that you had for a very small amount of time and then you moved on. Or you were really into it at a time and then you moved on to other things. Sports is one of those things that for a lot of people, and I understand people are casual fans, for a lot of us, we made the decision as kids that you were going to really be into sports, and it has followed you the rest of your life. And it has given you some of the most enjoyable moments of your life, and in a sports sense, it has given you some of your biggest heartbreak. didn't even watch the rest of the tournament after Missouri lost yesterday. I'm not sitting around and watching the rest of this. I'm mad Missouri lost. That is the effect that sports has on our life. And the same way that people feel a closeness to musicians when you've heard these songs for so long, that's the way that some of us feel about broadcasters. So when you get a chance to meet a Kevin Harlan, hey, I've heard you call these games and your excitement was my excitement. Man, it's really cool. So when Bob Davis has called every KU football game and basketball game for 30 years, so if you're riding around with your grandpa and you're listening to Bob Davis, like that person becomes part of your nostalgia, part of why you became a fan of the team. So I hope that Bob Davis certainly understood that before he passed away. I think that he did in the times that I got to meet him. And I hope that Ryan understands that. I hope Denny understands that. I've told Denny before, like, you are the soundtrack to people's summer. That when you're on a car ride, when you're on a road trip, when you're out fishing, when you're working in the garage on something, people are listening to you and you become part of their routine. The one thing you learn about radio when you choose to get into it is how much it is a medium of habit. Some of you are like that with podcasters. Hey, every Tuesday, I listen to this podcast. Every Wednesday, I listen to this podcast. Some of you have listened to Denny Matthews every night in the summer for the last 30, 40 years or so. That person becomes a very important part of your life. So, again, I want to pay my respects to Bob Davis. Coming up on the other side, we'll take a trip to Columbia. We'll take a trip to Lawrence, Kansas. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me update you really quickly on the scores, and then we'll play this audio for you. Maryland is just smoking Grand Canyon. They're up 66-45. Ole Miss got North Carolina out of this tournament. Shout out to my guy, JT. Your Tar Heels, they shouldn't even have been in the tournament. They were an NIT team, and you know it. They had Crown Invitational in MGM Grand Energy. And they got in because of the brand. Now, it was a fun run. You got to beat up on San Diego State, but you played a real team in the NCAA tournament, and now you're going home. All right, so I want to play a little bit of KU, a little bit of MU here on your ride home. Let's start with the Missouri Tigers because I cheer for Missouri, and that just feels like the right thing to do. We had Sam Snelling on the show earlier today, and I asked him, why was Missouri so bad on offense yesterday?
Yeah, and like that's the thing is they've they've always found a way to even kind of manufacture, you know, even a few 3-point makes. I didn't really think they were going to shoot a lot of threes against Drake. I thought, you know, the focus was going to be on driving the basketball and trying to get to the rim. You know, but they really found a difficulty because I think once Drake kind of sensed that they were playing off, you know, the guys who are sort of, you can kind of consider non-shooters, you know, even though like Ant Robinson or Tony Perkins, those guys can certainly make threes. They're more inclined to drive the basketball. Mark Mitchell is a great example of a guy who, you know, if he's shooting 3-pointers, you're probably okay with it. You know, so you can back off those guys and you can try to clog their driving lanes. And Drake was really successful in doing that. Missouri, you know, struggled to, you know, sort of have those clean pick and roll exchanges or dribble handoff exchanges. You know, credit to the Bulldogs for you know, their defense and sort of gumming that up a bit. You know, but I think as much as you credit Drake, you also have to sort of point to, you know, the flaws of the Tigers and what they've sort of struggled with, you know, in the last few weeks. I think for Missouri fans, a lot of us were kind of hopeful that the SEC tournament was sort of a way for them to sort of say, all right, we're fixing some of our problems, you know, that we've had, you know, in the last few weeks here. And
right now we're talking to Sam Snelling here for a couple more minutes, who covers the Missouri Tigers. What do you think Missouri needs to go out and look for in the portal? There's a decent foundation for Missouri for next season. Now, you never know what's going to happen with the portal. Like, you can lose your own players, but you got Anthony Robinson, you got T.O. Barrett, you have Mark Mitchell coming back for next season. You've got a foundation of a team that can finish in the upper half of the SEC, and now is the work. You got to try to replace Bates. You got to try to find some size with Joshua Gray. Now moving on, you got to find some shooting with Caleb Grill. What do you think Missouri needs to look for in the portal to keep this going and build on what they did this season?
Well, one thing I think they're really, really going to be looking for is either like a scoring point guard or combo guard to sort of go with Anthony Robinson. I think it would be in their interest to find somebody who is a little bit more of an alpha. You know, I think this season, if you would have a critique, as Missouri had a lot of really good pieces, guys that can get you 20 points on a night, but they didn't really have anybody who was going to get you 20 points every night. And you know, there's a difference. I would sort of refer to it as like the 13-14 point mark in the transfer portal. You see these guys entering the portal and they're like, oh, they averaged 14 points at whatever mid-major school. And to me, that's a complimentary piece, because that guy is a guy who's going to get 22 points one night. He's going to have 6 the next. Where you want to start looking for, is this guy an alpha scorer or not, is if they're scoring 18, 19, 20 points a game, because that's a guy who's going to be more consistent. And so that's, I think, the guy that they're going to be looking for, somebody on the perimeter who can handle the ball, who can give you consistent production on a nightly basis, which is something I think they missed. Very clearly, yeah, they're looking for somebody who can replace Josh Gray. I think they do like what they have in Peyton Marshall and Trent Burns. But young bigs are young bigs, and their development path can be erratic, to say the least. You know, so you want somebody who can at least kind of give you 15 to 18 minutes a night, quality rebounder, scoring, all that kind of stuff. You know, and then I think as a backup, you know, they'll probably be looking for a wing shooter. You know, Jacob Cruz is coming back thanks to Diego Pavia rule. You know, he gets another year of eligibility. I think his role is largely going to stay the same. He'll be a guy coming off the bench. He'll be able to kind of space the floor. Hopefully he can be a little bit more consistent in his shooting, consistent in his defense. But I think they're happy to get him back. Less things you have to find in the portal. You know, but somebody who can kind of step into that grill role. So they have a lot of work to do. I don't think we'll see any big defections. I think, you know, you mentioned Ant and Mark. Those guys are certainly going to come back. The freshmen, by all accounts, seem to be really bought into what they're doing. I think like Honor Batang, a lot of fans are worried about him. He's a guy who sort of figures into a much larger role next year. He's kind of bought in. I really like what you got from T.O. Barrett. So I think you're you're right, and the foundation is solid. If you add the right one or two pieces this year, you could really contend for like the top four spot in the SEC. There is a lot of turnover happening at the top of the league, and including the top four teams: Alabama, Tennessee, Auburn, Florida. All those schools are losing a lot of senior guards, a lot of senior players, and that turnover is going to kind of open up a path for somebody like Missouri if they can get the right pieces together.
That was Sam Snelling with Rock M Nation. Happy to get his side of things. Let's head to the KU side right now and be joined by Michael Swain to get his thoughts. I asked him this: when did he know that this season was going to be a problem for the Jayhawks?
It was the Missouri game. I remember walking out. I filmed one of our post-game videos at the time, and I think one of the points I made was like, man, that felt a lot like last year's team. Speaking of, the final year of McCullough with Johnny Furphy, like, it felt very similar to that. And I said that because I think you're right about the talent, but just the mental side of the game for KU in that game. How do you come out in a rivalry game with no energy? And that ended up being a huge theme across the season, where KU was not a consistent energy team. They just didn't compete some nights. And that was a big game for me, being like, uh-oh. And then after that, I think the West Virginia home game was kind of that, really the game that cemented it for me. Like, oh no, this team's got some serious issues that's going to have to resolve. And they really never did, right? The energy issues never really improved. Guys like, Rylan and AJ really never found their stride. And as a result, KU ends the season with a thin team in terms of the trusted rotation players, and with some of the same issues I think we've seen for 2 years running now. So I'm on the same page as you. I think the issues really started to show up, and it's so interesting when you can contrast the start to the season where, KU beats Carolina, who, should they be in the tournament? Not sure. But they beat Duke on a neutral floor. They beat Michigan State on a neutral floor. That's a one seed and a two seed.
As someone who covers this team, what does KU need to go get in the portal? They're going to see a lot of turnover. KJ, gone. Dewan Harris, gone. Hunter Dickinson, gone. They are going to have some turnover this upcoming year. What kind of players, what do they need to fill out their roster to get back near the top of the Big 12? What do they need to do in the portal?
Yeah, I think genuinely it comes down to a couple of things. I think athleticism is such a huge part of it. You look at the point guard spot for KU, and I know Dewan is a very divisive, I think maybe is the right word to say, but he's a player that I think people have a range of feelings about. He does some good things, but he is not a great athlete, and he is not a physical presence on defense or even on offense. And KU will replace Dewan with Darren Peterson, who, if you've watched his high school tape, and if you're a Kansas fan in the KC area, head to Haskell on Saturday or Sunday, get to watch Darren Peterson and potentially AJ DeBonce to play. He is going to upgrade Kansas at the point guard spot. He will be more athletic. He will be a shot creator. He's going to be a difference maker for Kansas. I think you start there and say that is going to be a position of upgrade. Now you look at some of the other spots and you say, okay, what does KU need? I think more length and athleticism. KU is too easy to guard this year because the players on the team were so reluctant to drive to the rim. This team is the worst free throw rate team that Bill Self's ever had. Basically, they didn't get to the free throw line all year, and that's not how Bill Self teams play. So you need to have the athletes on the perimeter who can take guys off the bounce, get to the rim, and really put pressure on a defense that way and collapse teams. And for KU this year, they were so easy to guard because if you were able to stay in front of them, man, unless KU's moving the ball at an incredible level, and they didn't because of the energy, they really struggled. And so I look at that and I say, can you get some guys that just off the bounce can be tougher to guard? And then, of course, shooting, right? I think KU is going to probably pivot from the quote-unquote shooters like a Ryan Griffin and Nick Timberlake, guys who, when they shoot, man, if they're on, they can shoot with the best of them. But when they're off, what exactly else are they doing to help you win? If you go look at the numbers for Rylan Griffin, they are ugly. And obviously everyone knows what happened to Nick Timberlake too. So I think KU on the perimeter is also going to go try and find some guys that can shoot, but also can provide you some of that, the extra oomph, whether it be defensively, whether it be on the glass, things that can help you win overall. And then KU's also going to have to really reinforce the front court.
You are around Self all the time. Where is he at mentally, physically? I mean, it's been a wild 18 months or so for the Kansas program. He had his own health issues. They've been down these last couple of years. Is he still motivated to do this? Does he still have the same bounce in his step when you talk to him? Where is Bill at right now in this?
Yeah, I think, man, it feels so long ago to talk about, right, when he had the health event in Kansas City and everything that's happened. I think next year is going to be really big, right? He's got a player coming in who he spent years recruiting and spent a lot of time recruiting, and someone who he has said himself is the best player he's recruited. I think that gives him a ton of energy. If you watch any press conference, the second Darren Peterson comes up, like it's like a light goes on for Self, and he is so excited, I think, about coaching that. I think there's certain frustrations about the current landscape of college, right? And he's a guy that the way he coaches is very specific. And I don't know sometimes if getting some of these transfers who need to change, like an AJ Store, where, okay, you got AJ Store and said, okay, we like this, this, and this that he does, but man, he needs to change these parts. It's really hard to get those guys to change. And I think it's hard for, I think, Self too, when you demand that from players, to try and find ways to get away from what he has been as a coach, right? Where he wants toughness. He wants guys to compete. And I think at times some recruiting evaluations have led to that not being super prevalent. So I think he's someone that is trying to find it, right? You see it across the sport right now. The coaches that are on the older side of the age spectrum, they're having to work through it. Some of them are doing a great job. Some have little lulls and then have been able to figure it out, and some just haven't. And the ones that haven't figured it out are out of the sport.
That was Michael Swain joining us on the show earlier today to recap the Kansas Jayhawks season. We'll get you ready for tonight's action in the NCAA tournament. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. This is what I would like to do before we sign off for the week. We got a handful of NCAA tournament games coming up later tonight. Maryland is putting a hurting. They have already put a hurt on. It was 81-48. Grand Canyon scored 21 points in the second half of that game. That ain't enough. About to tip off here in a little bit is Florida and Norfolk State. We also have Troy and Kentucky. We have Marquette and New Mexico, if you're looking for a potential upset. I know a lot of people that like the Lobos in that one.
Is that really an upset? Like a 10 over a 7?
At this point, we're struggling. We're struggling, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I guess technically, sure.
No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I'm saying that we're struggling to find some intrigue in round one. We are, what, 3/4 of the way done here in round one of the NCAA tournament, and there ain't been much madness yet. We have New Mexico and Marquette. We have Akron against Arizona, Oklahoma and UConn, Xavier and Illinois. We also have Bryant and Michigan State and Liberty and Oregon. Those are the games that we have coming up later today. Is there a game that you are keeping an eye on? Is there a game that you are excited about?
Liberty, Oregon. Like, honestly, Liberty, Oregon is I mean, I guess UConn, Oklahoma, because two power fives, but Liberty, Oregon. The 12s have done a really good job in this tournament. We saw Colorado State get the win. I guess they were favored, so a lot of people expected that, but they got the win earlier today over Memphis. We saw McNeese State beat Clemson. Like, Oregon is a good team, but Liberty plays. This game is a lot like Mizzou and Drake. Liberty's coach, if I recall, so what C.J. Moore said on the show Monday, he comes from the Tony Bennett Virginia tree, so you know it's about to be a slog and a grind. So a slow game against Oregon could be interesting, but outside of that, it sounds like a lot of mid tonight for the Friday night. It seems like CBS and TNT and True TV decided Friday night's not a big night for the television market, so let's just move on.
Well, I think they just picked Kentucky. I mean, I think they tried to pick a brand that people would watch. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't disagree with you. I think their plan was they're going to put Kentucky Friday at 7 o'clock on the East Coast. And then at night, they're going to go with Michigan State and Oregon, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, they pick brands, but not good basketball games.
I mean, we'll see. Hopefully we get something good, man. I'm hoping we get something. I might have to throw a little something, little wager down before I make the trip across state line. Tournament ain't gone so far for me. I thought Missouri was going to win. I thought KU was going to win. I ain't having a good tournament. That one kid didn't get the rebounds we need. Remember that? That kid.
Vincenzo or whatever his name
was. Costas killed us. I had a lot of fun this week. Hopefully you guys did. I believe we are on remote on Monday. I don't know where we are, but it's baseball season on the drive, basically, is what I'm telling you. Take care of yourself. And until then, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.